Welcome
to the On Target Living Podcast, a place where health and human performance meet.
We are going to talk in a minute here to Chris Johnson. He is the founder and the CEO of On Target Living. You can find them at ontargetliving.com. Chris is a good friend of the podcast. Actually, if you think about it, he can be credited with the name of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was Chris who, in working with Joe, introduced Joe to cold oatmeal, which allowed Joe to introduce cold oatmeal to us and led us to pick cold oatmeal as the name of this podcast. So it all started with Chris. Chris is a great guy who talks and says a lot of really smart, common sense stuff about what to eat, how to live, keeping yourself healthy. And we thought, what better way to kick off the new year with this podcast to talk to him about how to stay healthy in a pandemic. So Chris Johnson, On Target Living. Thanks for coming back to the Cold Oatmeal Podcast.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure to just hang out with you guys.
Well, the unofficial, official nutritionist, health consultant to the podcast.
I like having repeat guests. It's an exclusive group that we have. I'm glad Chris is now in
many.
It.
There have not been many. But we thought, we actually wanted and tried to get you on back right when the pandemic hit. I know that because we thought that would be a good time to get someone on. How do we stay healthy during this time? I think you had been traveling a little bit and weren't going to be visiting folks, and we hadn't figured out the Zoom thing at that point. So and here we are. We are kicking off the new year. It's 2021. And I guess I want to start off by saying, what's it been like as the life of a health consultant during the middle of a pandemic?
Well, I remember back in March, came back from a trip, and I had 17 speaking events lined up for the spring, and they all disappeared in about four days. And then my wife says, what are we going to do? I said, I have no idea. That's what we do for a living. But between my son and our creative director, Steven, they really helped us pivot. And we've done over 300 webinars since the beginning of April. So we've really been lucky in transitioning, because I think more and more organizations are looking at their people with mental health and overall health and the pandemic and what can we do for our people? And I think that's where some more and more companies started reaching out to us and said, okay, this is really important to us. How can you help us?
So what kind of goes into a webinar? Is it kind of as ordered by the company that's asking, or do you have
we have approximately 8 offerings, and then we customize it depending on the group. And each webinar is approximately 35 to 40 minutes of content. And then we open it up for Q&A, and Q&A varies a lot. It could be taped, it could be live, it could be where they ask questions to us. So, but we try to create the closest to a live presentation as possible. We've really gotten better at it. So the audio, the video, how the positioning where we have the location, it's very, we've heard a lot of great things. This is the best webinar we've seen, you know. But we've really worked at it. So I think that's our goal, is to really try to make it like we're talking to you in a live format. So, which I think has helped us grow.
Do you pre-ship seaweed packets and fish oil to like Todd from accounting so he can try it live on camera?
You know, believe it or not, Nick, we do. And so certain events more and more, that's what we actually recommend. And so we're actually participating we're trying to engage them as much as we can. So you're exactly right. So we sent sample bottles of cod liver oil, spirulina, Corella, and sometimes many other things. In fact, we do lots of cooking type events where we actually send them the products, and then we do the live cooking right in their own home. So yeah, we try to make it as engaging as possible.
How did you figure out the technical aspect of doing it? Because I mean, we've gone to doing this virtually, and I don't want to talk about it, but I've had like several hiccups with just taking our little tiny operation to being something that's done with people not in the room. And it's been hard. Like, did your people just have those skills already, or do you have to find new employees that can like help you do that?
I had to laugh for a second when you asked me, how did I? I have no clue how we do it. So it really been proud of our team, especially Matt and Steven. Matt Johnson's my son. He runs our company. And then Steven Glenn's our creative director. And between the two of them, I think they're probably the experts in this space. We talk to many organizations, very, very large companies, and they bring their tech people on, and then, you know, you can hear my son and Steven guiding them along the way. So they've really just been under fire and really learned how to make it better as we've gone. And we've had a couple glitches along the way, but not much, not much. So it's really easy for me. I feel very confident when I get in the room because they're always there. So
makes me feel really dumb.
Way to go, Joe. What is it like? I mean, your presentations and are very interactive, and I think probably very audience participation kind of things. I think you probably feed off of the audience when you're doing a speaking gig. How has that been to transition to trying to do it through a TV screen?
Well, I think the challenging piece at the very beginning is exactly what you're saying is when you're speaking, the larger the audience, the better. I mean, I've spoke to groups at 8,000 people in one audience and got eight screens and it's a rock star show. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Energy's so high and you just get, it just feed off the audience. So now you're looking right into a screen or a, you know, camera, and there's no energy there. So initially it was very difficult, but as time went on, you realize that they're behind the camera and it felt like it was a live presentation. And then we do Q&A. And so initially it was probably end of March into April. It was challenging for both, especially my son and I. We did predominantly most of our webinars, but as time went on, it got very comfortable. And I think it's really helped our business in the future where we can actually do the live stuff. And then we can also do the virtual. And so I think it's really helped us as a company, but it was definitely a learning curve for me. I'm an old school, 63 years old. I'm like, I've been doing this a long time. I've never done it looking into a camera. Yeah, but I'm getting, you taught the old dog some tricks. I feel pretty comfortable now, and I've learned how to keep myself energized while I'm speaking. And I think that's the part, because that's what they'll share with us, like, man, your energy you create tons of hope and, you know, all this positivity. And I'm like, yeah, we're in COVID. I mean, come on, you got to bring a positive message to the world. And I think that's what our goal has been.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this transitions once we go back to whatever normal looks like in the future. How much of our work life transitions back to face to face the way it used to be, and how much of it we stick with some of this virtual stuff?
Yeah, I think for us, I think there, you know, I'm hoping we will go back, you know, sometime this year. I know I book events booked for 2021 in the fall, but I'm not sure what's going to happen, you know, right now and till the fall. So wait and see.
So I've been meaning to ask you this question for a while. And I'm trying to think when I listened to it. Must have been this summer, I think. I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast, and it doesn't matter who, I can't remember who he was talking to, but they're talking about COVID, the pandemic, and people's reactions, what we were supposed to be doing, washing hands, wearing masks, all that. And he went on a bit of a rant about how at no point has he seen anyone make an argument about what people should be doing to keep themselves healthy and to keep their immune system up and to protect themselves from getting sick, other than kind of these, I don't know if artificial is the right word, but these kind of like putting a mask on and washing your hands. And he's like, there are all kinds of things that people should be doing and can be doing to make sure their bodies are strong so that they don't get sick. And that's been missing from a lot of the conversation. I'm curious first, if you agree with that. And second of all, you know, what's kind of been your, as a health expert, how have you kind of observed how we've all dealt with this?
Well, I think you've been sitting in my house because that's the conversation I have with my wife every night. She's so sick of it. So, yeah, I completely agree with Joe that I have no idea. In fact, I talk about this in our webinars. I have no idea why we do not talk about playing offense, because we're playing defense. We've been playing defense forever. So social distancing, you know, all the stuff that we're doing, washing our hands, that's all great. I mean, everybody's got their thoughts on it. But, you know, vaccination, this and that. But the bottom line is, what can you do as a human being to create this immune system that we all have that's the hazmat suit for the future? I mean, we're just dreaming if we think this is the only virus that's going to come out at some point in time. So, and if you really go back in time, whether it's the, you know, back in 1918, this is the same conversation I was having back in 1918. We're doing the same thing, but we're not talking about what we know now is this immune system. In fact, my son on one of our podcasts, he's interviewing Dr. Jeffrey Bland, which is probably one of the top integrative medicine physicians in the world. And that's what they start talking about. So that's my whole emphasis when we get on a webinar. We have one of the webinars called Stress and the Immune System, and help people understand how to rejuvenate your immune system, which everybody has.
So what should people be doing 10 months in? What should we be doing?
Well, number one, everybody should be talking about it. I think that's the benefit of, if there's any shining light with this whole pandemic, it's been that people have to wake up about their greatest asset, and that's their health. But when you think about the immune system itself, it's relatively simple. But if you're writing something down, listening to the Cold Oatmeal podcast, which I love, I would say, let's do this. You got to balance your nervous system. And what does that mean? Well, if your nervous system is not in balance, you cannot have a healthy immune system. You got to start there. And what does that mean? That means you have to understand stress, because stress is a killer for the nervous system. And so you have to have ways to, whether it's reframe your conversations about stress, ways to recover, as simple as how to breathe correctly. Are you getting a good night's sleep? Do you have enough space? I think more and more with this pandemic is, I think people are starting to realize the power of space and time that we need. So that's step one, is you got to balance the nervous system. And then from there you go into, you know, what are you ingesting? Are you drinking enough water? Believe it or not, simply, are you drinking enough water? Maybe a lemon. And then you get real specific things for COVID, which is be vitamin C. So we really are believers of the source. Where does it come from? So instead of taking vitamin C supplements, you take vitamin C in foods, lemons, oranges, vitamin D3, cod liver oil, sunlight, selenium and zinc, Brazil nuts, pumpkin seeds. So when you start thinking about when you get the gut healthy, that's where the immune system lives. So eating real foods, sauerkraut, apples, I mean, berries, these are so, oatmeal, bananas, these are easy foods to get that gut healthy. And when your gut gets healthy, that's when your immune system starts to rejuvenate itself. And I think that's what we're not talking enough about, because that's the offense. And so when people ask me all the time, and I try not to be that guy, but they ask me, you know, what's your take on this or that? My whole focus is on my immune system and how do I make it, you know, rejuvenate it? Because the immune system's constantly rejuvenating. And when we turn over, believe it or not, this is crazy numbers. We turn over 1 million white blood cells every 10 seconds. We turn over 20 million red blood cells every 10 seconds. We turn over 30 million platelet cells every 10 seconds. So that tells you the body's constantly rejuvenating itself, good or bad or indifferent. I do not understand why we're not talking about this. Number one, we don't really talk about this in Western medicine. There's no money what I'm talking about right now. And, but boy, we should be, because that could save so many lives and it would be the future for, you know, overall health for the, I mean, I was doing a diabetes webinar late this past fall. And I started doing a lot of research on type 2 diabetes. And you go back in time, in 1960, 1 in 4,000 people had type 2 diabetes. And today that number is 1 in 4.
Oh, wow.
Has nothing to do with genetics. Has everything to do with lifestyle.
That's ridiculous. That's just an absurd number.
I was wondering what you found funny about
it. I mean, it's funny. I mean, you know how my sense of humor works. It's funny to me, but it's not funny. It's depressing. It's bad.
But I think, you know, that's a fantastic question, is really as a society around the world, we have to start playing more offense. And when start doing that, then you feel like you have hope and you have more control. And I think that's the message that more and more people need to understand, that you have control. You have much more part of the game than you think, but we're not taught this stuff.
So the message to Lansing and the state capital dwellers is chill out, less stress. Good luck. Good luck.
But, you know, Nick, one of the things is we're not taught how to breathe.
Right.
And if you ask most people how they're breathing, I'm writing a new book right now, and I have a whole chapter called The Art of Breathing. And if you ask most people, 50% of the United States population are mouth breathers, very unhealthy. You need to breathe through the nose. Number two, we don't use the diaphragm. The diaphragm relaxes the nervous system, that it's the gas pedal. And number three, we breathe too fast. We need to slow it down. So when you get people to learn how to do that and they actually practice it, kind of turns into a chill pill for everybody, but it's a skill. It's a skill that people don't really understand how powerful it is. And it's free.
I certainly don't. It's a skill I don't have. But I can work on that though. That'll be easier for
everybody. But everybody can. Yeah. These are habits. But if you really understood, one of the most simplest ways to lower blood pressure is changing how you breathe. So if it can lower your blood pressure, then it can definitely calm you down. That's what it does.
You know, I was talking to my dentist the other day, and he was saying once they were able to reopen up again and start seeing patients in early June, he has, I'm not sure what the exact word is. He's fitted more patients for bite splints and the things you put in your mouth because you're grinding your teeth and you're locking your jaw. He said, I've done more of those things in the last 6 months than I've done in years. He said, people are coming in here, their teeth are breaking. They're under so much stress that they're cracking teeth, they're grinding their teeth, they're locking their jaw, and it's just this stress.
Well, and I think you don't want to be Pollyanna. I mean, everybody is, it's hit so many, you know, families and organizations. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, what can we do to help us? And so when you think of stress itself, I think the big mistake most of us make, I know I make sometimes, is I overestimate the threat. I overestimate it. So back in March of last year, I lost 17 speaking events in 4 days. I was definitely overestimating the threat. But then we learned how to pivot, kind of talked about it. You know, I wasn't going to jump off the bridge, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then eventually we pivoted along the way. So I think that's the message out for a lot of folks is, number one, are we overestimating the threat? Number two, we underestimate our ability to handle. And so that's where the breathing comes in. That's where the sleep comes in. That's the food. We can have a lot more, but we're not teaching this. And that's what I'm on a mission with. I want to help organizations and people be able to feel their best, you know, especially when we're going through some of these toughest times we've ever gone through.
You probably can't answer this because I feel like it's from the perspective of people that you're talking to, but do you find like your message and what you want people to take away from like everything that you know, is that not resonating as well with COVID just being at the forefront of everyone's brain? Like you say, all this like, oh, work on your immune system, like work on stress, all this stuff. But people are just thinking, yeah, but what about washing my hands? And what about, does it land like it did before COVID, or is it harder with people kind of just being completely distracted by COVID?
I think it's landing much greater.
Okay.
Because now they're really concerned about their health. And so if you can get people to step back for a second and say, okay, number one, you know, how does the virus work? You know, when you get into the weeds and how the things go, and we're not quite understanding it, but we understand, you know, how a vaccination works. And so a big part of that is understanding, you know, playing in the dirt as a kid, you build your immune system, you go to school for the first time, you build your immune system. And we have to understand that the human body has this just incredible ability to self-correct and heal. And a big part is that's the immune system. It starts in the gut, but we don't think that way. We've never been taught that stuff. So, but no, I think that, I think more people are really being much more in tune to their health being such a valuable, you know, part of their life, which, because if you take it away, you don't have anything. And I think it's hitting people in the forehead that, you know, I want to have my health back. Shut our planet down.
Yeah. You made such a great, I love that be on offense analogy, because that's a great point. I think so much of this time people have felt helpless. They've been stuck in their house and they don't feel like they have control over anything. And doing these things can give you control, can give you power in the situation.
And I think that's when you think of mostly stress is people just do not feel they have a way out. And I think we've all been down there before, but whether that threat is real, stress is physical. And that's what most people don't understand. A stressor, your stressor, my stressor, Joe's stressor, everybody's stressors are different. But if you feel threatened, it doesn't matter whether it's real or not, the body's going to react the same way. So the human body is amazing in its ability to handle acute stress. We're not designed to handle chronic stress. And so that's the problem. We're not handling, you know, think about that a couple, you know, 100 years or so ago. I mean, we're afraid of predators, bubonic plague, yellow fever. Today, all our diseases are based on worry. And that's the offense I want people to take, because that gives them hope that they can do something about it. And that the, you know, the big bad wolf is not as big bad as you think it is, if you have more control.
Looking ahead, so it's 2021, we're in the new year. What do you, looking ahead to where, how you see this pandemic, we have a vaccine, people are starting to get shots. It's going to play out. People are saying somewhat back to normal by summertime. What's your thought?
Well, I think the vaccination has given people, it's starting to lift the clouds a little bit for many people. And there's going to be different camps that, you know, that's going to help them be a little bit more relaxed. And then eventually I hope that more and more people are going to start taking care of their health and their immune system, which is going to help have less of an impact of COVID moving forward. So I'm very optimistic. I think some good stuff's going to come out of this. I hope. I know a lot of businesses have been struggling. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, in 2021 for our business, but I think it's a wake up call for the entire planet. And I think there's some, we can look at some positive things coming out of this. And one of them is space for me. I know myself, I average about 150,000 miles in the air a year, and I have not been on a plane since the middle of, well, I went to a wedding in June in Colorado for my niece, but I have not been on a plane. So it's been really enjoyable to be home more and more. I really missed, I didn't realize how much I missed being home all the time. And so for me personally, that space is definitely a thing I was craving. And I think a lot of people are really realizing that. I remember, you know, I'm listening to some of the different people and they haven't had dinner with their family in months. And then now they're having dinner every night.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And I don't know if that's, I know the divorce rate went way up, but I think too much of togetherness is not always good either. But I think I'm very optimistic this year that people can really start taking more greater care of their health and understand the power of, you know, we always talk in our business, the greatest asset of any organization, as you guys know here, it's your people, and the greatest asset of your people is their health. So hopefully that's going to be more resonating this year.
Is that why we got all of that that oil and health stuff in our stockings, Matt? Was that,
you know,
thinking ahead?
Home deliveries.
Mine was drenched. Yuck. No.
Is there something you think that, I guess when I say the collective we, I'm not sure, leaders, the conversation over the past year that you think we did well in trying to deal with this from a health perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were doing what, you know, if you go back in 1918, we're doing exactly the same way they did it. And I remember when Charlie Chaplin came out with one of his most popular movies, everybody's rushing to the theaters, and then the pandemic just exploded. And so I don't think people need to be reckless, but at the same time, I want them to play more offense. So I think that's what we've learned is like, let's not be reckless, but at the same time, let's really start paying attention to that. Like vitamin D3. I mean, we're talking about cod liver oil and people are like, I'm not doing the cod liver oil. I'm like, hey, listen, you want that omega-3 fat and you want that vitamin D3? That's the highest sources in the world. Why wouldn't you take it? Treat it like a medicine because food is medicine. But I think we're afraid of this stuff. And I'm like, why would you be afraid of something so powerful that helps your immune system? But I think we're seeing more of that. It's waking up. Like people ask me all the time, should I be taking zinc? I said, you don't want to take anything in isolation. You never want to take a nutrient isolation if you can take it in the food. So that's not hard to do. You don't take vitamin C, just eat an orange. You don't have to take zinc, just do spirulina, corella, or pumpkin seeds. It's not hard to do, but we just don't know this stuff.
We had a friend come over for a couple of days in the fall for a pumpkin carve. And she's my wife's good friend. And both my mother-in-law and this woman's mother were best friends. And they were both on to cod liver oil when my wife was a kid and was pumping out the cod liver oil, to which my wife has not been able to drink any of it until we get the lemon stuff that you have. So I was convinced, I was talking, I was like, no, I've got this cod liver oil and it's actually really good. I felt like I was you in your kitchen. I was like, no, you have to try this. It's really good. And she's like, it can't be good. It can't be good. And the look of fear on her face as I was pouring it into a little cup for her to try. And then she's like, okay, stop. You don't, no more. And I'm like, and it was hilarious to watch her try to drink it.
And then they drink it and they're shocked. It's not, they're like, no, this is not what my grandmother used to serve us. I go, no, it's not the same thing. It's not oxidized. It's not rancid. It's, you know, and then it's also high in so many other things that help the body. So I think that's the challenge we have to get out there is like, let's experiment a little bit. Let's play around with a recipe or two and let's start eating some healthy foods. There's nothing better for your gut health than eating an apple. We're spending all this time and energy with apple cider vinegar, and now we got apple cider vinegar gummies. And just stop and eat an apple. And if you can get people to do that, sauerkraut. I'm writing this new book, and I'm researching the benefit of pro and prebiotics. And, you know, obviously sauerkraut, you buy in the refrigerated section in the grocery store. It's one of the greatest probiotics. And I was looking at this case study in Poland, and the Polish women don't have certain forms of digestive issue cancer. They just don't have it. And then if they move to the United States, they start getting it. But the commonality is in Poland, they consume about a cup of sauerkraut a day. Now, so I'm not asking everybody to do a cup of sauerkraut a day.
You should see Nick's face.
The power.
I would absolutely rather drink that oil, that fish oil.
I actually love sauerkraut. I'll eat it. I eat a cup a day.
But if, you know, it's, again, I'm just using that as an example that there's some really powerful foods out there. And remember, food is medicine. And one of them being some of these pro and prebiotics, like coconut. Coconut's great for gut health. Berries, onions, bananas, oatmeal. These are all great. You know, that's why Joe's so healthy, because of all the oatmeal. But these are all good things for the gut. And as the gut gets healthier, that's where the immune system starts to thrive.
You know, when I was a kid, my elementary school, we had three cooks, these three old ladies, all German ladies. And like once every 2 months, they would make sauerkraut and sausage for lunch. And I don't know when they started cooking that stuff in the morning, but like you would get off the bus and walk in the door at 7:55 and your day was ruined. You're like, oh no, it's sauerkraut day. Cause you don't want the entire building smell like sauerkraut.
You don't need to smell that before 8 o'clock in the morning.
No. Everyone was walking around so depressed all morning. It's like, oh, we have to go to lunch.
And I don't want to have anybody on this podcast turn it off because they don't want to do sauerkraut. I just use that as an example of the power of some of these foods. So I think that's what I've learned during COVID is everybody's starting to take a lot of stuff, a lot of supplements. In reality, let's go back to the source. And that's really where the gut thrives, is when you're consuming foods, not in isolation. And I think that's what we got to get away from.
Random question. And this is more from my son. The vegetable that he eats the most and really the only consistent one that he will eat is cucumbers. How nutritious is a cucumber? It feels like it's just water.
Is this Owen or Cooper?
Cooper. I won't eat anything.
Okay.
Cooper, like he eats cucumbers. And I read at one point that the skin is the most important part. So I stopped peeling the entire thing. So he'd have to get some skin because it feels like it's just a bunch of water.
You know, everything has value to it. Like cucumbers, there's hardly any caloric output from cucumbers. So you're not getting a lot of nutrients from cucumbers, and it is mostly water. It's about 90% water. So, and the other, like celery is getting a big deal with celery juice and all that kind of stuff. Celery is fantastic for sodium. It's good for your blood pressure. There's so many benefits of that. But the bottom line is whatever age they're at, whether he likes cucumbers, just, and eventually slowly you introduce some, maybe something else, let him try something else. But they'll come in stages. You know, kids come in. I have a grandson that's at our house right now. He's 2. And he's very inquisitive about certain things. There's certain things he obviously likes. I think every kid likes macaroni and cheese. But my daughter does a really good job of introducing him to new things all the time. And he's not quite sure what they're like and if they're good for him. But so I think the big thing is as long as he's doing cucumbers, that's a good start. And slowly,
I feel like a couple of years ago it was just like cheesy bread and candy. So he's obviously like making positive steps.
Those are staples too.
That's right. That's okay. It's baby steps. But some of the superfoods, introduce them to your kids because they don't know if it's good or bad or indifferent. You just introduce it. Like my grandson, we give him cod liver every day, and he eats the spirulina crawler because he thinks it's like an M&M. He doesn't think it's good or bad, or he just eats it. So
can you chew those things?
He chews them.
Okay. I never thought about chewing them.
He chews them. Yeah, like the kids do not. They don't want to swallow anything like a tablet. But yeah, he just put them on his in front of him, and he just eats them up like a. I don't want to do it that way, but that's the way he does it. But I think that's the challenge when we have our kids or family, is you just have to slowly introduce it, play with it, work with it, you know, figure out what they like, and then try to make it better. Well, don't get rid of stuff; just make it better. And I think people like that thought process. Is I'm not taking away the chips, I just get better forms of chips or Pop-Tarts or whatever. In fact, we have a handout called Brand Favorites on our website that really is a nice shopping list that helps people upgrade and make better choices.
Well, Nick, you got any last questions here before we let Chris go?
No, I'm always grateful for your time, Chris. It's a pleasure. And I do find each of these podcasts a little inspiring. I find them intellectually challenging and interesting. And I do find them, my boys are much better eaters than I am. Asher will eat anything. Carter will eat pears all day. It sounds like he's like Cooper with the cucumbers, but I've got a banana on my desk, and I promise you this, Chris, I'm going to finish it here before the end of the day.
But I think the other thing too, you know, when you think about some of this stuff, what you're talking about, you want to slowly build habits. And I can't say that enough, because I think I grew up pretty similar to you, Nick, that I was really in, I'm not putting you in this category right now, but I was I was not a healthy eater grow up. I grew up in bologna and beefaroni and Kool-Aid and Pepsi were my drinks of choice, but I had bad skin, I had psoriasis, and I had a bad immune system. And then when I slowly changed what I was eating, and that kind of was my driver. So experiment some of the foods out there and understand the power of food. Food's love, food's social, but also food is medicine, food is information for the body. And I think that's what we want to learn from COVID is the power of food and in rest, relaxation, and all the stuff that goes with that.
Nick's just opened his banana, so.
Good banana.
Way to go, Nick. Way to go.
Well, Nick, I give you credit for even calling in this afternoon, because you'll notice that Laura, like, I made up some excuse about kids and stuff, sure. Like, because she didn't want to hear this again. She didn't want to hear this again. Chris, I don't know if you heard, we actually had to try, we tried to hypnotize Laura in an episode last fall to try to get her to expand her palate, and brought a hypnotist in here for the podcast and tried to put her under, and it didn't stick.
Yeah, I think she claimed she, like, felt a little bit better about eating a banana for maybe 2 days, and then
No, I think the funny part was that I don't think she fell asleep at all. Stephanie and Carly both passed out,
right.
but the person we brought him in here to help.
But one thing's interesting when you're talking about that. One of the things I try to get, and I think you guys both understand this, but why do I want to wait till something negative happens to me before I decide I want to do something about my health? And I think that's the message taking into this year, like, let's play that offense. And I think it doesn't have to be perfect, but understand that I want to be a little bit more offense in my lifestyle. And I think that's when people feel good, you know, they are good. And I think that's the message we've been really pushing is, you know, we need to start feeling good.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson, On Target Living. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure,
guys. Kick off 2021.
Always a pleasure.
We will be right back. Okay, welcome back. It was great to talk to Chris Johnson again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
OnTargetLiving.com. Chris Johnson, health guru. No probably better way to kick off 2021 than to talk to someone who is so focused on health and eating the right things, putting the right fuel in the engines that are our bodies.
And I'm going to put some serious thought into making some minor changes.
Every time, Nick, I like that you said that, because I feel like every time I talk to Chris, and I feel like I'm pretty good, but every time I talk to him, like, I can do better. I can be better. There's more I can do. He's an inspiring guy, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one who, like, thinks that when he leaves the room.
Slice up some bananas and put them on your frozen pizza.
I've almost finished my first banana today. The thing is, he makes it simple, because he's not like so many other people will just stop that or just... He says, well, can you do a little less? Yeah, I think I could do a little less. I think I could do that, Chris. I think you're onto something. Thanks.